CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.
Wow, new season, new open. I guess I don't really know where I am right now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the Celtics postgame show on CLNS Media. I didn't even say CLNS Radio. My name is Matt Rury. If you have been listening to this show for the last couple of years, you know who I am. You probably know this guy, too, because he's on basically every show that we have ever done in the past couple of years. Here, Nick Sesento, my co-host tonight. Nick, we're going to shake off the rust, and it's a good thing that our Celtics don't seem to have any rust to shake off. They look smooth tonight, defeating the Philadelphia 76ers, 110-102 in their second preseason game. I need a little tune-up here. I don't know about you, but the Celtics look good.
Definitely look good. Definitely look better, although the score was, I believe, a wider margin after the Hornets game. Definitely looked better from the players we wanted to see this season, especially Kyrie Irving shaking off some of those first game jitters or first preseason game jitters, and you know, putting up some impressive performances. As we discussed on the last post game show, Kyrie Irving only had 9 points on 4-for-11 shooting, 1-for-3 from deep. However, tonight, 21 points on 7-for-14 shooting. That's 50% from the field, and even better from 3, 5-for-7 from deep. So we got a nice show from Kyrie Irving, which I think a lot of Celtics fans were looking forward to, and it only took basically the second game of preseason to see what's in store for the future of Boston Celtics basketball.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think there are good things to say about pretty much everybody on the roster tonight. I didn't really see any negatives, and believe me, I was looking for them because I want to be critical of this team anywhere that I can, because I think that the overall feel is that it's a real positive one, and that people think that they should just ride their way to the Eastern Conference Finals and then to the NBA Finals most likely. And while I believe that they should be the favorite based on their talent and based on the roster, I still hesitate to think that they're going to just cruise the entire season. I think that they need some time to gel and figure things out. But in the first two preseason games, they've looked pretty good. And like you said tonight, the main attractions, Kyrie Irving being number one, really showed had a better showing than in that game against Charlotte. And honestly, there's the things that we're seeing in the last two games are going to change in the regular season. You're probably not going to see Jason Tatum averaging 30 minutes a game, although it's possible that he will earn that. The guys that have been veterans in this league are going to get most of the minutes, and then there are going to be a handful of guys that are playing a little bit off the bench. But one thing that I want to lead off with here that I think will hold true throughout the regular season is the fact that the second unit on this team is probably going to be one of the best in the league. And I think that the bench is going to win them a lot of games this year, because while their starting lineup is great, it's not the best starting lineup. And it may not even be a top 3 or 4 starting lineup at this point in the league. There are a lot of teams that are better than the Celtics as far as their starters are concerned. But I'm starting to think that with Marcus Smart anchoring that second unit, and then whoever's the fifth starter rotating in and out as sort of a sixth, seventh man, I think they're going to be really good, and I think this bench unit is going to win the games for this team. And you saw it tonight just with their hustle and their energy in a preseason game. These guys were all over the place.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because since you brought up Marcus Smart, and much has been made of the 25 pounds lost during the offseason. So he's lost the 25 pounds. And just to give a shout-out to Nick Gelso, who was in the I don't know if it was the Celtics locker room, the Celtics practice facility, but CLNS Media, as you mentioned, it's no longer CLNS Radio, it's CLNS Media, has been getting a lot of access as of late into, you know, behind the scenes with the Celtics facility, Celtics practice. And our founder, Nick Gelso, actually asked Marcus Smart about the 25 pounds that he lost, and not just, you know, the typical question of how he did it or, you know, how it affects stamina, but specifically how it affects his jump shot. And Marcus Smart said, you know, something very interesting, which is he's no longer pushing his shot. He's no longer using his upper body to really push that shot and force it. It's more of a true jump shot because he's putting his legs into it. And I think that's what we're seeing from Marcus Smart so far in the preseason. And just as I was beginning to question myself, is the loss of Marcus Smart's, you know, added bulk or added, I don't know if it was, you know, a combination, obviously, probably of muscle and, you know, maybe a little bit of body fat, and he was able to trim that down and become lean. Would that cause him to lose some of that intensity, that hustle that he has as a defensive player, that grit, because he's a little bit easier maybe to move out of the way now that he's lost that 25 pounds? And it's, no sooner did I think that, did I see Marcus Smart muscle. I don't know who number 22 is on the Philadelphia 76ers roster.
I think
one
it was
of the
Covington.
Big men. Covington, who grabbed
the
rebound.
I'm pretty sure Covington is the one who had the ball there, but I'll double check that.
And Marcus Smart, no loss of strength there, snatched that ball, ripped the ball away from Covington, then dove for the ball between another 76ers, legs practically, grabbed it away from that player, and then passed it off to somebody who I believe got it to Yabusele for Yabusele's only field goal. But it shows you that Marcus Smart is not only faster, not only a better shooter, as we've seen so far in the preseason, but he still has, you know, that grit and that grind, which I think is an intrinsic thing with him. It's not something – it's an attitude that he was born with, and he's not going to lose it. But his body is, I think, even better now, prepared to deal with all that, the way that he's in such better shape. And love seeing him. I've been one of the biggest critics of Marcus Smart, but seeing what he's done in these past two preseason games and the improvement in his body, he looks like a completely different player.
Yeah, and, I mean, the intensity is still there. We knew that. The hustle was still going to be there. But the strength is what I think you're questioning a little bit, and that's what a lot of people were questioning. And Smart says his strength was there, and like you just said, he muscled that ball. And it was Rishon Holmes, by the way, number 22. Covington wears 33, but it doesn't matter who it was. Smart was going to keep his hand on that ball regardless of who it was, and – He ripped it out of there and dove to the floor, and they got a layup out of it because of that hustle play. And I think you're going to see a lot of that from him this year. I hope he stays healthy. I hope he stays on the floor. He gets a lot of minutes, and I hope he anchors that second unit, because I think they can be really strong as a second unit. I mean, I've said this in the past, and not for a few years, but there have been times where you look at a second unit of a team to grind wins out in the depths of the NBA season around New Year's and then just before the All-Star break. And if they can find a way to win a handful of games in December for this team and give the starters a rest here or there, it's going to make them that much better come playoff time. And if somebody gets in foul trouble in that first 7 or 8 man rotation, these guys are going to have the experience and the confidence, more importantly, to come in and play well. So I like the aggressiveness from the second unit that you've seen so far in the preseason. And I think that a lot of those younger players have actually overshadowed some of the more veteran presence type of players, one being Gordon Hayward. So I don't want to keep jumping around here. We can stick to the bench talk for a second, but I do want to get into the fact that Gordon Hayward is a little bit overshadowed at this point in the first couple of games. He's played well, but he's not playing like a superstar like people were expecting him to do. But I think that in the first two preseason games, which again, not an indicator of the regular season, I fully expect him to figure it out. It's because a lot of these young guys are the ones that are sort of stepping forward and being the aggressors. And I don't know whether that's because the veteran players are sort of letting them feel their oats, so to speak, or whether that's going to be a trend that continues into the regular season. But either way, I think it's been a good one, because they're not forcing. They don't seem like they're forcing things and being overly aggressive, but I like the way that they've played basketball in these first two preseason games. They look smooth. They look solid. And they look confident, and that's what I like to see.
I couldn't agree more. And I think in addition to Marcus Smart, I'm just looking down the box score. Terry Rozier tonight, 13 points and not so much 13 points, three assists, one steal, two rebounds. I think he grabbed an offensive rebound or two, the classic, what I like to, I won't call it the Pitino style, because Pitino is now never was a good name in Boston, but I think now in the universe of basketball, it's a bad name. But that style of the guards crashing the board, and we see Terry Rozier doing that, but also on offense, looking like he just has that, just a little bit more confidence, like he's just a little bit more aware, like he knows just a little bit more what his position is within the offense, within the game, because he's always been solid, I think, on defense. Defense is what kept him on the court in his rookie season, and in some cases in his second year, that hustle and intensity and speed that he has. But he just seems to be just a bit more comfortable to me in the offense. So just to maybe close out, because I know you don't want to stick on the bench all that much, you know, Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart in the backcourt together, I think they add, they complement each other so well. Rozier being that athletic, speed, long type of player, and Marcus Smart being the gritty hustle, even though he's no longer that husky, bulldog-shaped guy, that's still the way that he plays. He's the disruptor on that end of the court, and I think those two together, especially on defense, are going to be something special to anchor this second unit, especially in the backcourt, obviously.
Yeah, and already, again, we know this is preseason, but you have to talk about something on these shows. Smart's shot already looks more fluid. It looks like an actual jump shot, like you were saying. His approach is different. You can tell already in these first two games that something's different about this guy and the way that he is going to be able to score the basketball. So I have some high hopes for Marcus Smart at this point going into the season. I hope he can continue his progression on offense, and he can figure it out and be the focal point of that second unit, because he is the veteran presence on the second unit right now. He's the veteran presence as far as being a Celtic is concerned. So I think that people on this team need to look to him to be that leader. And I think that he can pull it off. And it's just, he put the work in the off season. So I'm going to look to him and the rest of the second unit to really play really well and be one of the best in the league and win a good 10 to 12 games over the course of the season for this team and be the reason that they win those 10 to 12 games, so the starters can sort of get a break. But anyway, Nick, I think this is going to be one of those seasons where there's going to be a lot of different guys to talk about every single night, and the ball is going to be spread around, and you're going to look at the box score and you're going to say, wow, Yabusele had 8 rebounds. Wow, Terry Rozier had 13 points. And after watching games, you're not even going to realize how many stats some of these guys have piled up. So that's going to be something to look forward to. And speaking of something to look forward to, we have our first caller on the line here at 347-215-7771. We conjured him up. He's like Beetlejuice. You say his name 3 times and he shows up. Here he is. Nick Gelso, the founder, the man that gets
up
all these sound bites for CLNS Media. What's going on, man? Welcome. Welcome to the post game show.
Thanks. It's a it's good to be back, man, right? How many years? This is 8 years already, I think.
Yeah, shaking off the rust.
Yeah, man. Good to be talking hoops again. Although this summer we talked basketball, seemed like nonstop. There was so much going on. There was no off season.
It's
all
like
summer.
The NFL.
All summer, my Facebook news feed was just covered with CLNS Media coverage. I saw Sam Sheehan with his little porn stash going on. I got a kick out of that. and Bobby Manning's little podcast. Mm-hmm. Great stuff. Awesome stuff. Mm-hmm. I watch every single video. The quotes from the Marcus Smart practice about his jump shot, classic gold.
Oh, man, that's great to hear. Yeah, I got to say, he's probably impressed me the most. And I've always been very tough on Marcus, you know, but
yep.
He's one of those guys you really have to be. Yeah, you really have to be. I'm not saying I won't be again, but I guess he's one of those guys you really have to be in the arena. Like, Rory, you're in the arena watching almost every home game. You notice more than you do on TV that he does when making difference in games. But I'll tell you what, he looks great. And his shot, I think Matt was saying it does look different.
for sure.
Well, let me tell you something. And this sort of goes into what we were just talking about with guys sort of being lost in the shuffle and sort of focusing on new players and all this stuff. And I found myself tonight not watching Marcus Smart. And it occurred to me at some point during the game that he had been in for a few minutes, and I didn't realize it. And then, boom, just like that, he's making plays. And he made me start to watch him on the floor. Like, you know, sometimes you're watching a game and you're trying to get prepared for these shows, whatever, and you're focusing on a certain player because you want to talk about him or you want to see what they're doing with a certain rotation. I was ignoring Marcus Smart, and then all of a sudden he forced me to watch him. And that's the type of thing that I think that people have been seeing in him for the last couple of years, and he hasn't been able to really hone that skill and be that impactful player night in, night out. But we've seen it already in two preseason games. I think he's ready to try and do it for a whole season. And to me, that's exciting because I think Avery Bradley was starting to get to that point last year. And of course, I lament the fact that he is now gone. But if Smart is going to be the type of guy that makes those impactful plays and sort of draws your attention night in, night out, then the Celtics are going to be in better shape than I could have imagined.
Yeah, the key there is that you said, Rory, is night in, night out, because he seemed to do that in big games last year, too, and the year before. In big games, he always seemed to show up and make big plays, but he would get lost in certain sequence of games. You know what I mean? When it would be just a regular season game, and it would be so frustrating because he'd start chucking up threes. I'll tell you, he hit his first one against Charlotte, and I forget who I was sitting next to. I turned to Trags, and I said, oh, here we go. Now it's going to be a 1-for-11 night. And here he ended up, I think, 3-for-7. He's just shooting it with confidence, and he's so much quicker since he lost the weight.
I was going to let Jacinto jump in here because he's always been the Marcus Smart defender. And
yeah, he might.
You're the one that, I mean, he doesn't need to defend him tonight, I guess. He doesn't have anything to say.
The two Knicks have been firmly ensconced in the anti-Marcus Smart, but in the hard on Marcus Smart, the critical of Marcus Smart, we should say, after Tommy's little Freudian slip about Aaron Baines. We don't want to go anywhere with these kind of innuendo-type comments, but have been critical, let's say, of Marcus Smart. Now, I just had to throw that in there because we didn't talk about it on the post-game show after the Hornets show, even though I noticed it, and apparently so did the world notice Tommy Heinsohn's comment. But on NBA TV, I guess you guys got the CSN or whatever the local broadcast is in Boston. But we got the NBA TV down here in Florida, and Ala Abdelnaby, who you know coincidentally was a Boston Celtic at one time.
Name and forever that name.
Yes, and who was also the only up until Abdel Nader's debut, which we should anticipate with the upcoming regular season, was the only player born in Egypt to ever play in the NBA. But anyways, Ala Abdelnaby made a comment about Aaron Baines, basically praising Aaron Baines and commenting about how good...
Wait a second. Is Ala Abdelnaby now an NBA TV analyst?
Color comment, I think he does color for the 76ers.
For the Sixers, okay.
Yes, for the Sixers. Yes, so he made his comment praising Aaron Baines, and I'm not sure if Ala Abdelnaby had any clue of what Tommy Heinsohn said before, but now that anybody makes any comment about Aaron Baines, I just can't get Tommy Heinsohn out of my head. So he says, Aaron Baines, he's going to be the one that's a secret weapon for the Boston Celtics. Not really a scorer, but he can, you know, he really likes to pound down low. He likes to throw the meat around, and I'm just, no.
You know, it's funny because when it happened, it went around the, it's so crazy with social media now, but that Ben Rohrbach tweeted it out, the clip of it, and it went around the arena so quick, and I'll tell you, it was hilarious, but I'm still kind of protective. Like, it's okay if we all laugh about it, but when I see, like, SI.com and Bleacher Report poking fun at Tommy, it's like, yo, man, lay off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody was talking about that thing, though, and I was getting texts about that. Did you hear this? Did you see this? It's like, you know what? I did. And did you see Mike Gorman's face? He was embarrassed. He was turning red. He didn't know what to say. He had no words. And he just sort of looked at Tommy and tried to continue calling the game. So, listen, Tommy's getting old, but he's respected around here. And he still knows what he's talking about. And we understood what he was saying. Right?
Listen, he's a champion. He's a champion. He's been in locker rooms before. He's there's nothing that he hasn't, you know, seen or done that, you know, that every, you know, player hasn't seen or done before. But anytime anyone starts a conversation with, you know, I was in the shower checking out, you know,
and I can assure you he has not been in the showers. I don't know what he's talking about.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Maybe it was his imagination. But anyways, Aaron Baines, definitely an X factor, though. Regardless of all that, I may never look at him the same.
I love him.
But it definitely looks like he's going to be an X factor for Brad Stevens and the Boston Celtics this season. I like Aaron
Baines.
What
does he add, guys? He adds so much, right? Drury, last time we had somebody like him, and it's becoming cliche to say this because everybody keeps saying the same thing, but it was Perk. I mean, we've not had a tough guy down low in – years
and
almost
he's
7 years.
So much more offensively gifted than Kendrick Perkins. So
there's no question. I agree with you 100%. But that's the last time we had a guy who would. I think Keith Smith said it tonight, or somebody did. He could put somebody down, and he likes to do it. You know, like he likes to be physical. So I think that's really great. It's something the Celtics have really, really lacked. I mean, to a certain extent, they've been soft. I know that's exactly
what. The people of Boston are going to love this guy. They're going to think that he is such a superstar, grinded out type of player. And I have to admit that in the past, early in his career, I was bad mouthing this guy. And you know what?
You were?
Absolutely. I have to admit it because he was a bum. He was a nobody. He was on the bench
multiple teams. He's a classic garbage man. That's what he is.
He couldn't shoot. He couldn't score. And you know what? I think once he changed his look, he got the big beard and he's got the shaved side of the head and the slick back, almost ponytailish, long hair type of thing. He changed his look and he's a stud now. Can you believe it?
Rory, please do not tell me that a guy getting a man button suddenly made him more credible in your eyes. I've never before heard anybody say
that.
That's
not what it is.
Brings out the toughness in a man.
Now, wait a minute. All these years we've been seeing Forsberg making fun of the man bun on Olynyk. So when Olynyk has the man bun up, he scores.
Because
he plays well.
Baines has the beard, though. Kelly Olynyk could never rock a beard like this.
He looked like
Shaggy.
He still had the 13-year-old. I'm still growing the peach fuzz look. You know, you just couldn't get it done. But Baines is he's rugged.
It's only the second preseason game, right? And I guess we have to say that. But damn, they're really fun to watch so far. I mean, tonight was really fun to watch. I mean, Kyrie was like, I couldn't believe when they said he had 21 points. I was like, huh? I didn't even notice it. It was so seamless the way he was scoring. He could score 40. I mean, in a heartbeat. You know, like granted, we gave up. The Celtics gave up Isaiah, and I love him, but dude, this is such an upgrade. I mean,
the
this
flow
guy,
of the game is so much different. It's just unbelievable to see that Kyrie Irving sort of just goes up and down. There was a point where I saw him sort of he was going to lay back and try and grab the ball because he's the point guard, and then he was like, "Wait a minute, Marcus Smart's going to get the ball. I'm going to go be the decoy over here," and he runs the
just
play.
So.
And there were times last year I feel like Isaiah Thomas would say, "No, give me the ball." But so it seems as though Kyrie Irving has already fit into the "I'll do whatever the coaching staff wants me to do, and I'm going to do it as well as I can."
He wants to be coached. I mean, Rory. I mean, that's like he was on First Take. That was probably even all around the press scrums this whole preseason and camp. It was a lot of his decision was coaching and. You know, I mean, it just goes to show. I mean, there's definitely cohesion between his style of play and Brad Stevens' style of coaching. You couldn't have said it better. It was very fluid tonight, where in the last several years, it's been, even with success, it's been choppy. Every single game, you'd have that long, long, drag-on lull of bad offense. It was, you know, when they'd stop hitting jumpers.
Even towards the end of the game tonight, there was a stat that flashed up, like, the last 3.5 minutes the Celtics are without a field goal. I was like, really? They are? It doesn't feel like they are without a field goal.
Right.
Because even when they're not shooting well, they're getting good shots. The shots are not forced. And they're doing it within the offense. Everybody's buying in this year. And they have a lot of talent that is buying in, and when that happens, good things happen, especially with the system that we have.
It just didn't feel like they were forcing up threes as much as they did last year. Now, it might come back to that, or maybe I don't have the box in front of me, but and maybe they launched a ton of threes and they just shot well tonight. But last year was so friggin' frustrating with, you know, sometimes they'd have a wide-open layup and they'd stop and pull up short and take a three. It would be like, what?
Well, you know, I think Marcus Smart was a big part of that last year. How many times did he stop on the break and pull up in the corner or something and take a bad three?
It was a huge part of it. You know, but
now
the Celtics run 11 for 31 from three, so they shot 35.5%. So
yeah,
not great, but not terrible.
And they were pretty good, pretty selective. I think they took good shots. There were only a couple
good
of times
shots,
where I thought, well, why
That's
did he
the
shoot
key.
That?
That's the key, I think, for Celtics fans. That frustrates the fans is not, you know, the quantity, but the quality of those shots. And I think a lot of those shots just weren't shots last season that, you know, Celtics fans wanted to see taken. You know, where there were shots like that were heaved at the end of, you know, of a lot of dribbling and passing that didn't, you know, achieve any type of penetration or something, a desperation shot. A lot of those shots that we didn't like.
Tonight you could see
preseason a lot more selective.
This is hyperbole, but I mean it 100%. If they took 50 shots that were wide open because they moved the ball around and got a wide open shot and they missed every single one of them, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, that's a very Brad Stevens type thing to say, but
I know, but I love it.
It's
great.
I mean, but it is, and the thing is too, it not at all insinuating that the Celtics were selfish last year because they weren't. But this team is extremely unselfish. I mean, Al Horford is a pass-first guy. Hayward, I think he had 5 or 6 assists tonight. He's a good passer. Kyrie is obviously a good playmaker. That the unselfishness becomes contagious. Where I think last year, and I hate to keep making the comparisons because it's such a different team, but last year it was what got contagious was all those jump shots. Like just threes and threes and chucking up threes, and there was no fluid. There were long stretches of no fluidity within games.
Yep.
But that all makes sense.
That's right. That's right. Nick,
wow.
You want to stick around here while we take another call or what?
Yeah, I'll stick around for a couple.
All right. We'll have a little round table here with Mr. Gelso.
Not long, though.
Not long. Okay. That's fine. 347-215-7771 is the number. And Blair from Maine gave us a call on that number. Blair, welcome to the show tonight. What do you have for us? I know it's just the preseason, but obviously we're pretty excited about this Celtics team.
Oh, I'm totally excited for the first game. We have such a great team this year, Celtics itself. First game, we come out the first game. I think we're totally gonna show it the first game. We got Kyrie Irving, you know, we got a ton of players that are gonna show it on the floor. I don't know if we're home the first game. Doesn't matter if we're not. You could already see it. What we got. I think we're an NBA final kind of team, playoff team. We're totally a playoff team. I'm not gonna go all the way to the finals yet.
Of course.
We don't need to go there yet. But we are a potential playoff team, looking like we can make it to the playoffs and do really well.
If they don't make the playoffs, it'll be a severe disappointment. And they are in. You know what? You're right, though. That first game is going to mean something because they're in Cleveland. So even though Isaiah Thomas is not going to play in that game, you can see what it's like for Kyrie Irving to go up against his former team in Cleveland. See
we'll
the reception that he gets from the fans
we'll there.
Probably a lot of booze.
We'll be there, Murray.
That's right. CLNS Media is going to have your coverage. And it's going to mean something. It's going to be a good one. LeBron's still there. The rest of that Cleveland team is pretty much intact.
D-Wade.
If the Celtics come out and play their game, I think that they're going to show some people something. And this might be the year that they finally put LeBron in their rearview mirror and sail off to the NBA Finals. We'll see. But you're right, Blair. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves here.
Hey, but let me say one thing. Hey, so LeBron itself, everybody's sick of seeing LeBron. Oh, LeBron this, LeBron that. Oh, yeah, LeBron. Oh, it was either LeBron or Kyrie. What one's going to leave Cleveland? What one's going to leave Cleveland? Was it LeBron? Was it Kyrie? Well, we got lucky that we're going to have Kyrie. We're so lucky. Look what he's already shown on the preseason games that we've had already. Now we're 2-0. Look, if we go 2-0 in the regular season. I can't wait. Let's do it this year. Maybe I'm thinking too fast.
No,
but
you're good.
We got that team. Let's knock off the Cavs at Cavs' place, which is away. Let's just show LeBron that we have a Celtics team that can do it this year.
All right, ma'am. I'll tell you what. I don't want to be Debbie Downer, Rory, but they may come back 0-2, or they may go up first two games of the season. I won't be surprised if they were 0-2.
Thanks, Blair, by the way. Thank you, Blair, for calling. I love the intensity from Blair. But, Nick, you really believe that they would start 0-2 here? I don't know about this.
I ain't saying I believe it.
Let's take it easy. Let's pump the brakes on the other end.
I'm not saying I believe that'll happen, but I wouldn't be shocked if it did. I mean, those two games are tough, man. They're out against Cleveland, and both LeBron and Kyrie are going to want to show something. It's the opening night, nationally televised. That game could be an easy loss, clearly. And then they come back home and they play the Bucks the next night. So I'm not saying it's going to happen. They very well maybe 2-0 or 1-1. But I wouldn't be – I mean, I'm not going to have a nervous breakdown if they come back 0-2. It may happen.
It could happen. I wouldn't have a nervous breakdown either. It's just a matter of how they play in those games. But I don't know. I feel like they – should be able to beat the Bucks at home, even if they lose to Cleveland in a tough game or something and have a long night. They are good enough to split that. They should.
Rory,
be
you like this
anyway.
Team a lot.
What's
like
that?
This team a lot.
I do like this team
you
a lot. I think they.
Like
I think they have
a
lot of talent, and I think that they are already showing that they're gonna defer to each other, and it's not just one guy that's gonna step up and do something every night. And again. Obviously, I'm being extravagant for the preseason. This is two preseason games against a mediocre team and actually an improved Philadelphia team. I will say that.
But they are improved, yeah.
The point is that it's the way that they're playing. It's not the fact that they're winning or that they're shooting X percentage or getting this many assists or what have you. I don't care about the stats right now. I just like the way that the team looks on the floor. I think it just looks more cohesive than it did for many, many weeks last year. And even at times into the playoffs, it didn't look very cohesive.
Sure.
They were not a team that looked formidable. And the talent level has improved clearly than it compared to last year. And that's just going to make it even more exciting. So I think there's a lot to be happy about when it comes to the Celtics team.
With all that said, I am now going to go to bed, so I'll let you guys finish this great show. Thanks for letting me yap, and I'll talk to you maybe after the game Monday.
All right, buddy. Sounds good.
Thanks, guys.
Later. There's one of our greats right there, Nick Cecento. Speaking of greats, speaking of roundtables, this episode of Celtics Postgame Show is brought to you by and sponsored by Greats. The makers of the all-time greats, classic, stylish, and comfortable sneakers. They are sold at a great price, and you should check them out. They are Brooklyn's first sneaker company. Even though they're from Brooklyn, we like them around here. They sell all the great classic styles, made the best for less. They have a wide selection of men's and women's shoes, so check it out. Ladies, get some shoes for yourself. Forget about those guys. They have versatile styles, and they're suitable for any occasion, so go check them out right now. There are tons of different colors and materials to choose from, and if you want to know what their best sellers are, they include the all-leather Royale lace-up and the Wooster slip-on. So if you like a nice boat shoe, maybe you can go check that out. Personally, I'm not a boat shoe type of man, but I'm sure that I can find something wonderful at Greats. So... I mentioned the round table earlier, the Celtics round table. That is going to be your promo code for greats.com tonight. So go check it out. Greats.com, the special deal. Once again, save 15% on your first order. Our offer code is Celtics Round Table. All one word, Celtics Round Table. So go to greats.com. That's G-R-E-A-T-S.com and enter the code Celtics Round Table to save 15% at checkout. Because you know what? Greats believes that so much in their they believe so much in their shoes, they offer a no-risk return and exchange policy. So if you don't like them, which you will, you can send them back, and you can get a style that you actually love. One more time, greats.com with the promo code Celtics Round Table for 15%. We thank you, Greats, for sponsoring this podcast, because you know what? Without you, we would probably just be talking to ourselves. Nick Sesento, always good to hear from Gelso there. Are we overplaying this Celtics team right now? Are we getting too excited over two preseason games and the way the roster looks and just the names on the team? It's still surreal to me that Kyrie Irving is on this team. But, I mean, are we overplaying this thing right now?
I don't know, Matt. I mean, the enthusiasm is just so overwhelming that it even extended into that, you know, bump that you just did right there, that little spot you did right there. I mean, I can't wait to try on the Wooster slip-on.
That's right, the Wooster slip-on. You check that out.
The Wooster slip-on. No, again, everybody will tell you whether the Boston Celtics, if the Celtics were completely blowing it, were getting blown out in every single game, it looked like they were disjointed, like they still needed all this time to gel, to mesh. Everybody would say, it's only preseason. They're playing, you know, fantastic basketball right now. It seems like the gears are all moving. There are a few players that, you know, maybe you'd like to see a little bit more out of, like Semi Ojale and some of the other young guys, but they're probably going to be seeing a lot of time either at the end of the bench or in the G League. But, you know, again, they're playing very well. There's a few things you'd like to criticize, but it's just preseason, so no, I don't think there's any reason why you wouldn't want to, if you're a Boston Celtics fan, look into this and have reason for optimism. I think that, you know, it's clearly muted. I don't think anybody, when you get into a discussion with a Boston Celtics fan and you say, hey, it's only preseason, that they're going to, oh, no, I swear this team is, you know, clearly the best. They know that it's a muted, you know, that this is what it is. It's preseason, but they're extracting from what they're seeing now and projecting onto the possibilities of the future, and those possibilities are clearly positive. My only thing is, I think it's a little bit early to start talking about the Boston Celtics are, you know, should be the favorite or should, you know, be close to the Cleveland Cavaliers right now. Cleveland Cavaliers have made a whole lot of additions to their roster. They have basically two starting lineups. As much as you and I both love the Boston Celtics bench, they're mostly young and unproven players. The Cleveland Cavaliers bench, while maybe injury prone with some glass knees here and there, Derrick Rose, you know, whatever, but they aren't, you know, unproven players. They have, you know, Dwayne Wade, Derrick Rose, they have Jeff Green, they have guys that, you know, can play basketball and have proven they can play basketball on their bench, whereas we still have the young guys that have a little bit of a chip or something on their shoulder to prove.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think there's a lot of excitement as well because there are so many new players, and whether they're young guys that were just drafted or young guys that have been around in the G League already and they're now starting to try and get some minutes. Abdel Nader comes to mind there. There's a lot of new faces and there's a lot to take in. So I think people are using that to fuel their excitement a little bit as well. But I want to kind of shift gears a little bit because we've got about 20 minutes left here and I don't want to focus on a meaningless preseason game for an entire hour, even though that's kind of what we're warming up ourselves to do in the regular season. But I want to sort of look forward and get a little big picture type of thing for the whole year, because to open the year a few weeks ago, people were saying that Vegas had the Celtics at 57.5 wins, something like that, over under. The Celtics broadcast tonight put a number out that predicted they would have 50 wins, 49.9 to be exact, which obviously that doesn't make sense. And now I'm looking at a website.
That would be a downgrade from last season, wouldn't it? That would be two or three games less than last season.
Right, that would be. But now I'm looking at a website that's claiming a week ago the Vegas odds were 53.5 wins for the Celtics, while the Cavaliers are sitting at 54.5. So I don't know if something actually changed, whether it was Isaiah Thomas now, maybe Vegas thinks he's more healthy or something, or whether they just adjusted something over the past week or so. But if you want to take this number that I'm looking at for truth, it looks as though they think that Cleveland is actually the favorite to come away with the one seed in the Eastern Conference. So take that for what you will. Maybe you can find a different place that will give you a better number than what I'm giving you right now, but that's what I'm going with. So how do you feel about that, Nick? Because personally, I thought 57.5 was a little bit high, but I think 50 is low. So this number I'm looking at to me seems pretty right on. I'm going to go with 55. I'll take the over on 53.5. I think they're going to yet again improve compared to last season, and that's what Brad Stevens has done every year since he's been here. So I think it happens again, but not drastically like that original number a few weeks ago had said.
I would agree with you on taking the over and under on the 53.5 games. That means you're expecting a minimum of 54. I think that sounds about right. I think on the whole, on the totality, the Boston Celtics lost a lot of talent, but the talent they got back in the process, you can't look at any one trade or move the Boston Celtics made and say this made them better, this made them worse. You have to take the totality of what happened, and really what you exchanged was Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, and Avery Bradley for Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving, Aaron Baines, and Marcus Morris, and I think that in the, you know, the immediate present, that made the Boston Celtics better. In addition to, you know, Jason Tatum being drafted, who's clearly going to be, you know, a positive impact on the Boston Celtics team.
Mm-hmm.
And then players like young players like Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown improving, which I think is one of the reasons that Boston Celtics fans are so interested in these preseason games, because they're so excited to see the progression or the development of these young players. Terry Rozier is another one, these young players. But on the long run, in the whole, I have to agree with something Paul Pierce said on ESPN today, and I actually went and dug up the audio. Let's see if this works. It's the first time I've ever tried uploading an audio while actually running the show. So we'll see if we can get this Paul Pierce quote. This Paul Pierce quote about how he believes the Cleveland Cavaliers are definitely still, or that the Boston Celtics are definitely not the best team in the East, and justifies it, explaining why he believes the Cavaliers are the number one team in the East. Let's see if this works.
Definitely not the best
from ESPN.
They added new players.
Mm-hmm.
Cavs have their core back. They've gotten better. But the Celtics have closed the gap than they were a year ago. They're not going to lose to the Cavs 4-1 this year. I do not believe that. But they've got better talent. They got a guy who has experience, been to the finals. Gordon Hayward is an all-star, should be a perennial all-star in Vegas. And they got young, great talent in Jaylen and Jason Tatum. Mm-hmm. I love what they've done, but I don't know if they're better than the Cavs. They may have a better record like they did this year. But in the playoffs, it's still LeBron and the Cavs.
So what do you think, Matt?
Yeah, it's strange to hear Pierce sort of going against the Celtics like that, but he calls it like he sees it, you know? And I would like to see what happens with Marcus Smart's progression. You know what? I'm not really looking at Jaylen Brown so much. I'm thinking that it's more going to be Hayward, Horford, Kyrie Irving, Marcus Smart, and then you're going to look at Marcus Morris to also make an impact and be that type of guy that can step up in the playoffs and be a core defender and a guy that can knock down shots. So when you throw him into the mix, I think that they may have enough to go toe-to-toe with Cleveland. I'm not going to predict them to win a series at this point, because the Cavs roster hasn't changed a whole lot aside from getting a 30-point scorer on their team now. So if health is there for both teams, I'm leaning Cleveland as well. I'd probably go with Cleveland in a 6 or 7 game series. But Pierce is right. The Celtics have definitely closed the gap, and they've set themselves up, if some of these young guys can really make big strides throughout the season, to be able to knock off Cleveland. So the chance is there. And if you're, if I were a serious betting man, I may put some money down on the Celtics because I think that they're probably decent money. And it just depends on what kind of a bet you're getting, I guess. But Cleveland should still be the favorite in my mind. I think that the talent level on the Celtics is there, that if they find a way to gel and become that type of defensive team and keep their composure in the playoffs, then I wouldn't want to bet against them either. Okay, let's just put it that way. So I think it's that close. Pierce is trying to make it seem like they have closed the gap a little bit, but not enough to win a series. I think that they could win a series if things go well for them and they play to their highest potential. But I wouldn't make that a prediction in cement right now, because there's still too many questions about this team, even though they look good. And even though we just spent 40 minutes pumping their tires and saying how excited we are about them, there are a lot of questions about the length of the regular season, just how they are going to come together throughout that regular season and fight through injuries, et cetera. And then how they can adjust to playoff basketball, because they still do have some finesse players out there. And I mentioned it quickly, Nick, so I'll ask you this question. Who do you think is going to have the better year? Who do you think is a better NBA player as well this year in a vacuum, Tatum or Brown? Because to me, I see the potential in Jason Tatum, and I kind of worry about Jaylen Brown a little bit, because I think that he can get out of control at times. And Jason Tatum seems to be more what's the word I'm looking for? I guess just in control with the basketball, whereas Jaylen Brown still seems to be a little bit herky-jerky when he's trying to make moves on his own. And I love the potential of both players, but to me, if I had to make a call right now, I'm probably going with Jason Tatum, just because he seems more like an NBA player.
That's a difficult call, especially given the fact that all we've seen from Jason Tatum is 1 year of college hoops, a few summer league games, and now a couple of preseason games, one of which wasn't even all that fantastic. And, you know, the second, the one that he had tonight was a decent game, but by no means a mind blower. Although I think overall your assessment is incredibly sound. Jason Tatum has just out of the gate more offensive moves. He's more fluid with the basketball. He seems to be more in tune with where he needs to be on the court, maybe better court awareness. However, you know, Jaylen Brown is a lot more athletic. He can jump out of the gym. He can, you know, his vertical probably tops anybody on that team. And he offers you, and I don't think that his offensive moves are all that bad themselves either. We've seen him hit that, you know, Kobe fadeaway that Jason Tatum also likes to, you know, that turnaround over the shoulder. And, you know, I think that Jason Tatum at least can hit it over both shoulders. I'm not sure if Jaylen has it over both shoulders, if it's just, you know, one. Jason Tatum's looks just mechanically looks more sound, but again, we haven't seen Jason Tatum at all play under an actual NBA regular season game, whereas Jaylen Brown has actually played in the Eastern Conference Finals. So I think at least for the beginning, for the time being, the safe bet is it based on, you know, the extra year of experience, which was a very valuable experience. I spent a significant time, the airtime that I was allowed on the CLNS postgame shows, preaching about the importance of getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, or as far as the Celtics could possibly get, because of the experience it was going to give to the young players like Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, and whoever else was going to stick around. But Jaylen Brown needs to be given that benefit of the doubt, but I think that if you're talking long game and the long-term perspective, I think that Jason Tatum looks like he's going to be a more polished, more efficient NBA player, and probably the one that will stick with the Boston Celtics. And since we brought up the conversation, and I'm going to ask you a question about Jaylen Brown since we're here, and I don't want to make this in any way, shape, or form a reflection of anybody's political beliefs or anything like that, But we've seen a couple of comments from Jaylen Brown recently. The most recent one about, I believe, the trade and how he you know, before the trade, the Boston Celtics preached Celtics culture and preached all that. And after the trade, now he wasn't sure what Boston culture really was. It seemed kind of like taking kind of like a jab at maybe, you know, the fact that some of his friends were traded and didn't really understand the loyalty part of the game. And then the other comment he made where he wanted to, when all the controversy was surrounding the kneeling during the anthem, how he wanted to take the reins of protesting in the NBA. Now, completely aside from any of the political stuff, which I absolutely hate, I don't want to, you know, even think about that stuff because we love the sports, are these type of stands and these type of comments something that you think is going to ingratiate him with Danny Ainge? Are these the type of things that the Boston Celtics that might possibly cause an issue for him in the future if it does come down to a situation where Gordon Hayward is completely locked in and it comes down, maybe the other wing is Jason Tatum, maybe the other wing is Jaylen Brown? Do you think that in your sophomore season, these are the things that Danny Ainge wants to be hearing from Jaylen Brown? Do you think that Jaylen Brown has earned that as a player to be the leader in that type of way?
Well, you know what? I think that part of Ainge's assessment of players is that he sits down and he talks to them about their lives, about politics, about anything. I'm not saying that he gets into a big debate with them about politics and he tries to get coerce them or something like that. I'm just saying I think he likes to have conversations with these players, from what I've heard. And
he likes
that,
cerebral players, it seems. Right
exactly.
That,
so I think that
yes.
I think that he would more lean towards the side of appreciating the fact that Jaylen Brown speaks his mind and that he's not afraid to do so and that he articulates himself very well in doing that and that he has an open mind and that he wants to create discussion and that he is trying to move forward with something that he believes in. So, no, I don't believe that any of that would hurt Jaylen Brown as far as looking at him as a player you want to keep in the organization. So Ainge is not looking at stuff like that as far as a negative is concerned. If anything, if Brown and Tatum are the same exact player in 2 years and Jaylen Brown is acting in that manner and Jason Tatum is just sitting back and saying nothing, then I would think actually Brown might be the one that Ainge wants to have on the team because he has some sort of a leadership quality as well. But I just feel like Tatum is going to surpass him as far as the talent and performance on the court is concerned. So it's not going to be a question. It's going to be one of these, we love Jaylen Brown. He's been a consummate professional. He embodies what it means to be a Celtic and we're going to trade him anyway, because that's kind of what Jay Crowder and Isaiah Thomas just went through. And that's something that these guys have to learn. And even Isaiah said it right after he left. He's still actually up until a week ago, he's been saying that he's kind of hurt by the trade, not necessarily hurt by it, but that's how I'm interpreting it anyway. And it's just the fact that he didn't really like the fact that he got traded and he didn't think it could happen because things were going so well in Boston. So, I would never say that somebody speaking their mind would be a negative, and I think Danny Ainge feels the same way. So it's a matter of the performance on the court, and to me, I can already see things in Jason Tatum that make him look like the better prospect than Jaylen Brown. So that's all I'm saying as far as that's concerned.
Actually, I really like that answer, and I really hope that that's the case of Danny Ainge, because you'd like to think that, you know, with the opportunity that this team presents with guys like Kyrie Irving, and it was actually a very interesting op-ed based on, you know, anonymous sources, the background sources that, you know, nobody's going to name, that one of the reasons Kyrie Irving wanted out of Cleveland was the fact that nobody really cared what he had to say about some of these issues that we're facing in, you know, this country and this world, because all they wanted to hear about was, what did LeBron say? What's this about LeBron? And what's it like playing with LeBron? And the flat earth comment that Kyrie Irving made kind
Love
of
that.
you know, it blew up in his face, and he kind of had this impression based on this article, this piece that, you know, nobody wants to hear what I have to say until something, you know, a story that I'm only half serious about, you know, that I'm kind of,
not
you know, trolling
serious.
About, because, yeah, get semi-satirical, yeah, that gets dropped out, and then all of a sudden everyone's, you know, jumping on my case, and, you know, Kyrie kind of just said, you know, he's always going to be in that shadow, and he wants to address some of these greater issues, and I think Danny Ainge has the unique opportunity, especially in these days and age, to, you know, with the team that he has, Kyrie Irving. If anyone watched his introduction press conference, I mean, this in any of the interviews that he's given since becoming a Celtic, and I'm sure before that, but I wasn't paying that much attention. But you know, since becoming a Celtic, this guy is a brilliant young man, Kyrie Irving, a brilliant young man. And I think Jaylen Brown seems to be kind of a withdrawn person publicly, but if you look at some of his Instagram posts, maybe some of his tweets or whatever else that floats out there on social media, he's also a very introspective, you know what I'm saying, very intelligent young man. Not that all these players aren't, but that are, you know, in tune and socially conscious. And I think that if your answer is correct, and I believe that it is, and it's one of the reasons that I love the Boston Celtics, I hope Danny Ainge harnesses that and allows his players, this young team, to express itself and build its chemistry in its own way. But getting back to the Jaylen Brown and the Jason Tatum, I agree with you about that, but I think that for the time being, you're going to see Jaylen Brown getting more of the minutes, and Jaylen Brown being dependent on in crunch time until Jason Tatum has a little bit of experience under his belt.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. And we know already that Stevens does give the veterans more of the benefit of the doubt. How many times did he roll old friend Amir Johnson out there? We saw Amir tonight on the 76ers. He'll keep getting rolled out there. But Amir Johnson got a lot of playing time, at least at the beginning of games, for this team. And you know, I think Stevens is going to lean on his vets, and one of those guys in the rotation is Jaylen Brown. So unless Brown does something bad or makes mistakes on the court, you'll probably see him more often than Tatum. However, I also think that Stevens is going to play matchups, and you've seen that in the first with the starting lineup changing the first two games. I mean, maybe Marcus Morris will be the one to sort of solidify himself in the starting lineup once he gets into shape, but I also think that throughout games, the matchups are going to be something that Stevens gets to play with even more this year. And we've touched on it in the past that he's one of the best in the league at trying to pull the strings and push the right buttons. And I feel like deja vu here. We're doing it all over again, Nick. And it looks like we're off to a good start here in the preseason, and it's just going to be another year of praising Brad Stevens and just saying all these wonderful things, because he's going to make the right choices, and the Celtics are going to win 50 plus games, and they're going to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, and it's going to be all sorts of fun, and we'll see what happens there. So I'll talk to you in 6 months.
You just let it go, just, you know, let the 6 months play out and figure out, you know, who comes out on top in the end. I just wanted to run this past you real quick, Ruri, about the depth, since we started the show with the bench, and we like the bench. We haven't had much time to mention Daniel Theis, who I think is robbery, who should be in the starting lineup for the preseason, just to see what this kid does, because if there's any if there's any of these stash guys that Danny Ainge, you know, happen to come across, these Euro guys, or any of these guys, you know, that are development players that were these diamond in the rough, that, you know, maybe Danny Ainge struck gold finally, I think Daniel Theis might be that guy, because he's not a stiff like a lot of these, you know, Euro bigs. He's not quite as big, but he's long, and he's running up and down the court and playing some incredible defense. But I wanted to run it by you, the Celtics versus the Cleveland Cavaliers, and take a look at the roster. I didn't have the roster in my mind before coming to the show, before discussing the topic, but LeBron James, Isaiah Thomas, Derrick Rose, Dwayne Wade, Kevin Love, Jay Crowder, J.I. Smith, Iman Shumpert, Tristan Thompson, Kyle Korver, Jeff Green, Richard Jefferson, Jose Calderon, Ante Zizek. I mean, these guys have, you know, a 12-man rotation, and as much as I love the prospects of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, whichever one ultimately comes off the bench, as much as I love all of the new additions, and I think they're going to be greater than the sum of their parts, and Brad Stevens is going to get the best out of all of them, I just don't think you can have that much talent on the Cleveland Cavaliers team. and they not come out of the playoffs. The regular season is going to be one thing because it's, Isaiah Thomas is going to be out for half of the season or more.
Right.
But once you get all those guys, and I think they're going to play Derrick Rose and guys like that sparingly until the stretch run. But once they get, and they don't care about seeding because once they get into the playoffs, it's a different whole new season. I don't see how they cannot be considered the favorites. And, you know, Paul Pierce speaking out maybe not in favor of the Celtics, I think he cares about his credibility as a basketball analyst, and he's not just going to say anything because he used to be a Celtic and his heart is in Boston. But he honestly believes that the Cleveland Cavaliers, as they are composed right now, which I don't think they'll be for very long, but for at least this season, you know, has a lot more depth on their roster than the Boston.
Oh, absolutely.
Experience.
And it's going to be a matter of how they can change their approach to playing basketball in the playoffs. And that's why we should gear ourselves up and be ready to have an exciting regular season. It's going to maybe have a few downs, but it's mostly going to be a fun ride, and it's going to have a lot of ups. And then when the playoffs come around, I feel like the Celtics are going to have a nice couple of rounds, and they're going to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and it's going to be a grind. And can they pull that grind out? I'm not so sure about that at this point. They probably still need a few more pieces. If you were asking me to bet on it today, I'd go Cleveland. But I think that they've made enough of a change to be closer than a lot of people are giving them credit for. So we'll see when the end of the regular season comes. We'll see if they get to a Game 7 against the Cleveland Cavaliers. There's a lot of fun basketball ahead. And this is just the beginning of it here on CLNS Media. So we thank you all. That's going to do it for us tonight, Nick. And we will look forward to Monday night's game against Philadelphia. Again, this one's back at home in Boston. And we'll have your coverage for that game as well right here on CLNSmedia.com after the game, right after it. Nick, good talking to you, man. Glad we could do these
always.
Things again, and I'm looking forward to the season. It's going to be a fun one, if you couldn't tell, over the last hour. Thanks for joining me tonight, bud.
As always, it's my pleasure.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're out of here. See you later.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNS Radio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcast on the web.